This lady passes away, and she gets to the pearly gates, and there is Saint Peter welcoming her in. And he said to her, young lady, before you go in, you have to pass a test. Can you give me a four-letter word that begins with the letter L? Oh, she said, that's easy. L-O-V-E, love. You pass the test. She walks in. He says, by the way, I really need to run to the restroom, and it's quite a ways from here. Would you just monitor this gate till I come back? She says, sure. She didn't mind. He says, whenever somebody comes, just ask him the test, the question for the test. And no sooner had he left than lo and behold, her husband comes up. He says, what happened to you? He says, well, when you passed, I was so heartbroken. I had a massive heart attack and died. And she says, well, glad you are here. He says, but before you go in there, I have to ask you a question. He says, what's the question? Can you spell Czechoslovakia? All right. My name is Nabil Noor. I'm a Palestinian from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You can tell me when I'm done. My first name means noble one or wise one. Not a wise crack, but a wise one. And last name, Noor, means light. So I like to let the light of the gospel to shine in all we do. And I'm going to ask you to please join me in a word of prayer. It's all up on the screen for you. So if you don't mind, let us pray together. Blessed Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you for gathering us from many different vineyards in this world. Amen. Remember this. You are not a Lone Ranger Christian. Now, if you don't know what that means, how many of you heard of the Lone Ranger program on television or the radio? Oh, few of you. A Lone Ranger meaning somebody who stands by you. So you are not alone. You are part of the family of believers and followers of Jesus. Now, what happened to my clicker? Oh, it's in my hand. That tells you I'm a little bit on the nervous side. So the question is, who are you and whose are you? The world says you are what? A number. When you call somebody, they never ask your name. May I have your social security number? May I have your confirmation number? They treat us like a number. Or other may say, well, you are nobody. I'm sure you've heard these things before. So, the devil is the father of lies. He wants to destroy and maim life. On the other hand, Jesus came that he might give life and give it abundantly. To permit me to be honest with you, many of our people are being fed lies about your identity. I don't know how many of you were walking the halls here yesterday, and there were people who were dressed weird yesterday. Did you see them? Yeah, we did. So I asked somebody, what is going on here? And they said they were showing a group of oddity. Some had tattoos, like screens on their faces with thorns, other had masks on their faces. They don't know who they are. So how do we endure to all eternity? Jesus said why he came. Remembering your identity as a child of God is part of your preparation for proclaiming forgiveness to others. You are part of God's kingdom. You already have the gift of life, salvation, peace, grace, and mercy in the name of Jesus. You are and ought to be aware of your sinfulness and Christ's righteousness. Remember this quote, please. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. Life with Christ is an endless hope. Let me repeat that sentence one more time. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. Life with Christ is an endless hope. You are a baptized child of King Jesus. This is the absolute truth. You are forgiven and reconciled and restored and renewed. When God forgives sins, He also restores us, refreshes us, renews us, and gathers us to be part of His forgiven saints. This is the sweet gospel. This is our guarantee, and this is our hope. What does forgiveness do? Forgiveness is washing the sins away through Jesus Christ's crimson blood. Because of what Christ has accomplished for us, we can cope with life many terrible storms when we realize that we are God-made, God-saved, and God-loved. This is the guarantee to be a child of God, including you and me. Here are seven identities that identifies you and marks you. They all begin with the letter B. All that you can be with a solid identity through the Lord of history. What are all of these B words? First, let me explain a little bit about that first word, segula. Apart from the pastors, how many of you know what that Hebrew word is? Well, you have it on the screen. So if you can think for God, He uses the word segula to identify you as the most precious treasure in all of the universe. That's what He thinks of you. You are His own segula. That means there is no higher treasure than you. This is why in love He sent His Son. And see, these are the seven words that I would like to unpack for you. You are the baptized, the beloved, the beautiful, the blessed, the bound, and blood-bought child of King Jesus. You are the baptized. What does that mean? It is an ocean of receiving God's gifts for you. What are these gifts? First, you are saved through the majestic miracle of baptism. That's where your life began with Christ. But He loved you before you were you. Just remember that. Second, through that gift, you receive forgiveness. And forgiveness means there is nothing that holds you back from the love of God. Third, you are loved. You know what that means? To be loved is what people need more than anything else. I have been married to this lovely lady, my queen, for 48 plus years. There is not a day that goes by she does not say, honey, I love you. Or there's not a day that I don't say, I love you. And often I joke with her. We'll be driving down the road and I say, hey, Queen Noor, did I tell you I love you today? Says, well, yeah, you did, but I really like to hear it again. See, we need to be told we are loved because God loves us, and that love flows from us. Then we have the light of the gospel, the light that allows us not to walk in the darkness of sin or the darkness of this filthy, sin-infested world, but in His light, the light that changes our path of heaven. Joy. And joy is not conditional on what the events of life is. Happiness is. Happiness is because, well, today is my wedding day. That makes you happy. But joy flows from the heart, from within, because Jesus lives in your heart. And He said, I have come that they might have joy and have it to the full. See, joy is not conditional. It's never conditioned. Jesus does not give you conditions. He just gives gifts. And that's the ocean of the gift we have. Then we have peace. And peace, how would you define peace? I like to say it this way. Peace in knowing that I'm in the arms of Jesus no matter what happens to me. Peace is not circumstantial. It's not the cessation of wars or conflicts or anxiety. But peace is being anchored in the palms of Jesus, who guarantees no one will ever take us away from him. And peace does not change on your circumstance or the world's circumstances. Peace is in the heart of us. So these are the joys that we have in this activity. And this peace will never be taken away from you. Just remember that. Jesus' peace is everlasting. Do you realize that he came to give you peace? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he said to us in these words that he will give us that peace. And that peace is eternal. And that is what anchors us in the hope, in the joy, in the peace, in the love, and in the light of Christ. That is to say, when we are anchored, we cannot be moved because we will be endured forever. This is the joy that should make you every morning glad to get up out of bed and share that joy with someone else. Why? Because you are the baptized child of King Jesus. And this is an enduring promise. God's promise can never be taken back because it's written with an indelible gift. Or I should say it this way, indelible ink. That is the crimson blood of Jesus. So you are the beloved also. And this is a very important situation. Look what the scripture says for us. See what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us. Oops, that O should not be there. My bad. Take that out. You didn't see it. I can't erase it now. That we should be called what? One more time. What is it? One more time. What is it? Don't forget who you are. Don't forget. And don't let the devil tell you you're not something special. Please. Secondly, this word is precious. In it, God reveals that he is love. Let me tell you a true story. Sometimes back, a lady walked into a Lutheran church in Missouri, St. Louis. She was 50 years old. The service began, "Beloved in the Lord, let us confess our sins." After the service was done, the lady waited and went to the pastor and said to him, "Pastor, I would love to be a member of this congregation. I would like to take adult instruction and be a participant." And he said, "What made you do that? Why would you want to do that?" She said, "Pastor, I'm 50 years old. I've had a very rough life. My life has been up and down. But today, for the first time, I heard in the liturgy the word beloved." I want you to think for just a moment. 50 years old and never knew that she was loved. And that changed her whole life. The beloved. That's who you are. You are the beloved of God. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. We are the beloved of God since through faith we are his children, guaranteed a resurrection that perfectly and righteousness in his sight and true reflection of him. Let me ask you, and please be honest with me and with yourself. Do you know that you are a beloved child of King Jesus? Put your hands up. If you're not, don't put him up because I don't want you to lie. I want you to be honest. If you ever doubt this, all you gotta do is look to the cross. Do you know why? I will tell you. You see, on the cross, Christ opened his arms like this. And he said, "This much, I love you." And he gave his life for you. You are the beloved of God. This is from Jeremiah 31:3. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." Envision that God loves you so much that he wants to be with you. Okay, you are the beautiful. Please look at these two verses from Scripture. This is one of my favorite, actually, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. Let me say this statement here. God makes everything beautiful in his time, and we are beautiful because he created us. How? Why? In his image, and redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses every hideous spot and removes every unsightly scar from us. Before we go to the joining of this beautiful, do you know that in the prophet Isaiah chapter 43, after he says, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you, have created you, I have loved you, and I gave you all of these things," do you know that God has eyes only for you? Unpack this for just a minute in your mind. From all the beautiful things in this world, the galaxies, the sun, the stars, the moons, everything in this world, the ocean, the Alaskan mountains, the oceans, the beauty, the birds, the hummingbirds, every butterfly that you can see. Do you know that God, through his son Jesus, can't take his eyes off of you? Yes, you. He has eyes only for you. You are so special. If you've ever dated, you know you are so mesmerized by your partner. Right, Bill? Yeah. Every morning I thank God that he gave me my queen, because she is beautiful to me. And God has blessed us with that beauty. But God blesses you with the beautiful things that he has given to you. Why is this important? Why is this important? What does Hollywood provide for you? Oh, you gotta put this makeup on, right? Because that will make you glow like the sun, right? Or you gotta buy this outfit, or you gotta buy this telephone, right? That makes you beautiful? Heck no! You know what makes you beautiful? It's not the outside. It's what's in your heart. You see, Jesus does not look on the outside of man, but he looks on the inside of the heart. In the West, sadly, and the whole world over, what do we look for? Oh my gosh, she's hot. Right? We say that. Or ladies will talk to the other ladies, "Did you see how cute he is?" I know. I've been there before, so don't worry about it. I may be older now, but I still remember. Oh my gosh. Oh, I really like to get his number. "Hey, Nathan, can you go and see that other lady? Ask her. Nabil wants her phone number." You know, we do that, right? Why? Because we think they are beautiful. But beauty is not external. The beauty of Christ for us is because he shed his crimson blood to wash away every spot of sin, everything that looks ugly to God. And you know what is the greatest beauty for God is? It's on the cross of Calvary. That's the greatest beautiful image you will ever see. Because on that cross, the blood of Jesus washed you away, and he presents you to God holy and blameless and righteous, forgiven your sins, and giving you the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what makes you beautiful. Not the makeup, not Chanel 5. I don't know all the makeup that's out there, so don't ask me the names of them. My wife might, but I don't. Do you know the beauty of this world is in the billion-dollar industry? Right? You know this. Ladies, how many times you go to the store and what do you go to look for? Makeup or rouge or whatever else you put on your faces. I have no clue. Because you want to look presentable. I'm not saying don't do what you do, but don't let the external overtake the internal, because that's the beauty. The Apostle Peter put it this way. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is in God's sight is very precious. 1 Peter 3:3-4. You see, dear saints, God makes everything beautiful in his time. And we are beautiful because he created us in his image and redeemed us with his precious blood of Jesus that cleanses every hideous spots. So why is that important? Because you are really beautiful in his sight. What a tremendous statement. God sees no sin in you, no faults in you, no failures in you. He sees whole people who are righteous, holy, and beautiful. You are beautiful, every single one of you. I know normally they don't say that to the guys, but guess what? We are beautiful too. You know why? Not because I have curly hair, not because I have an accent, but only, I know, I've been told that. Or like when I was a young 16 years old, when I came to this country, a young lady came over, can I just touch your hair? Hey, you probably have done the same. Don't act like, oh my gosh, how bold. But what makes you beautiful? Here is the real thing. Let me demonstrate it. So the gentleman way in the back is God. Right there. Put your hands up. You're standing on the wall. He is God for right now. And it's me. I am the sinner. So this is me. Right? What he looks at as God, here I am filthy. Filled with sin. But then comes Jesus. And he wraps me with his garments of righteousness. And then when God looks at me through the lens of Jesus, what he has done, what does he see? Nothing but beauty, holiness, righteousness, and blessedness. That's what God gives to you and me. So, don't forget who you are. You are the baptized, you are the beloved, and you are the beautiful. Then, you are what? The blessed. This is from David, Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. This is the cup of blessing. Every Sunday in the divine service, the pastor lifts this cup and gives it to you. Take and eat, take and drink. This is the cup of blessing that reminds us in the divine service how precious we are in God's sight, how loved we are in his presence. Don't just look at it as a routine thing on Sunday morning. When you go to the sacrament and you kneel at the altar, you lift your eyes to the cross, and please repeat these words to yourself. Lord, you broke your body for me. Lord, you shed your blood for me. This is the beauty of being blessed by God. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of how richly blessed we are. This is what he writes. We are blessed by God with every spiritual blessing in Christ. One of the blessings, God loved us before we were us. In love, in Christ, before the foundation of the universe. Blessed by the love of the cross. Blessed by the Lord's Supper. Blessed by baptism. Blessed as a child of God. Blessed for all eternity. Because we are blessed, we inherit the right to enter the Father's kingdom. And this is not a matter of being lucky. But the Father bestows His blessings on us because of His Son, who paid the full atoning price to give us that blessing. Just remember, He blessed you before you were you. The bound. And normally people don't think about that. Most people, when they think of bound, they think like being bound by something. But in my working on this, I want you to think of it, you are bound to a destination. So a couple of scripture to help us understand what made this binding for us so important. It's because of what Jesus endured. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest held the consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. God's power is always greater than the power of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And because that is true, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, He was bound up for us to unbind the work of the devil and to bind up Satan, Revelation 20, so that the devil can no longer deceive the nations. We are now, because Jesus was willing to be bound up for us. We are not bound for the promised land. Blessed by God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Epistle of Hope in 1 Peter 1:3 says, we are bound toward an inheritance that is unperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. We are never free or independent. We are either bound to sin and death or bound to forgiveness and life. In baptism, we are bound to Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul stated in Colossians 2. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead, that is the point and time that God binds Himself to us and with us for all of His heavenly benefit. This is the great power of God's grace in binding us to Himself so that we might be bound to the eternal kingdom that will never be destroyed, taken away. So you are on a journey. You already have the passport. And here is the good news. You don't have to do any fundraising to get there. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, right? Because it's expensive to come to these things. And the final two B's in my dissertation for you. I am what? Blood bought. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. What was the price of your purchase? What was it? The blood. Now, let me ask this question. I know some of you are married, but not many of you. But if you were married and you had a child, would you be willing to give that child up for me? Put your hands up. No takers? We often talk about God gave His Son for me, right? But do we ever unpack it? Let me say this. I have three sons. I have 14 grandchildren. Do you know that I would never give one of them as a sacrifice for you? But God did. Do you know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave what? His only beloved son. Don't just go over that turn so fast. Please don't. Don't. Do you know what it caused God to turn away from his son on the cross? You are blood bought. You were wanted. The devil wanted you to spend eternity in hell. But Jesus said no. You know the price? His life's blood. Every breath, every agony, every hardship. And you know, in this culture, more than the time before, if you read the gospel writing, all they say, he was crucified. But I want you to know the cross was not shiny, like mine is. It wasn't smooth, but just rough timber. And Jesus was totally naked on the cross. He was humiliated. He was shamed. On the cross, he would hang up. But in order for him to fill his lungs with air, he would have to go up and then go down. And every time, envision how many slivers went into his body. It pricked him. Don't just pass over that. You are blood bought. The price was heavy, and God paid it for you. Dr. Luther, in the second article of the Apostles' Creed, expresses this so clearly. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Can it be that Jesus gave his life for me and my salvation so that I may respond with all he has given me to the praise of his glory and for the good of my neighbor? Yes, yes, and yes. Let me, before I turn it over for us to say this, let me say a couple of things. The world thinks very little of who you are. They don't honor you. They don't respect you. Bless you. They don't think of you as beautiful. But Jesus does. You see, because if you were the only one in the whole universe, he would have died for you. And he did it for me, and he did it for you. Remember this enduring truth. In the great confession of whose you are, baptized, beloved, beautiful, blessed, bound, and blood-bought, purchased and won, forgiven, cherished, created in the image of our gracious and loving Father. This is the good news for today and always. The sign of the Holy Cross is to be understood not as a symbol that frees us from our identity as sinners and the roles of victim and oppressor, but also a source of our security for our identity and freedom. See, we are God's children of King Jesus. This is the joy that I have to speak about the gospel. And what a joy to know that Jesus loves me for who I am, not because of what I do. This is the beautiful things we are. In 1 John chapter 3, this is what he wrote. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. This is the conclusion. So let me read this one for you, or you can follow along with me, but let me highlight, as you can see in my conclusion, I have all the words capitalized and bolded. You, dear Christian, are baptized not by your own doing, but by the mercy of God, who saved you through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. In those waters you were made his beloved child, claimed by the Father, united with the Son, and sealed by the Spirit. Though the world may not see it, you are now counted as beautiful in God's sight, crowned with the splendor of Christ, who is himself your glory and diadem. You are blessed, for you take refuge in the crucified and risen King, and in him alone you find eternal security, joy, and peace. You are truly bound to the one who has set you free from the devil, death, and sin. And above all, you are blood-bought, purchased, not with silver or gold, but with the holy, precious blood of Jesus, who gave himself for you that you might glorify God in body and soul. You are his segula, his treasured possession, chosen to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember this, dear saints. You are not a number. You are a new creation in Christ. You are not a mistake. You are a masterpiece made in the image of your Creator, Jesus. You are not worthless. You are wonderfully made. You are not a bleep on a page, but the beloved of God. And this one is really important. You are not a failure. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you. God loved you. God blessed you. God bound you. God wants to be with you. So with these final words, do not let the devil deny you the truth of how loved and precious you are to God. This is what the devil throws at you every day. You see, you will never be good enough. However, you are good because of Christ dwells in you. Who wants you around? Everyone is way better off without you. Don't listen to that lie. Jesus wants you to be with him all the time. Nobody loves you. Why should they? Jesus loves you and died for you and proved his love for you. You are worthless. You will never amount to anything. You are special not because of what you have or do, but because God has made you his segula, treasured possession. You can't do anything right. Everything you do is an epic fail. What a lie. Paul states, I can do all things in Christ who strengthened me. Beloved segula, remember that we stand in the war zone where Satan does everything he can to hold the advance of God's word in our lives and robs us of our enduring identity as his own children. The devil tempts us to think that we have more important things to do than studying God's word regularly, being in the divine service with other followers of Jesus, communing at his rail, himself the guest and the priest. The ungodly world lures us away from God's word by focusing us instead on life's concerns and pleasures rather than the comfort and the promise Jesus gives to us in his word. The sinful nature in each of us tries to keep us from taking God's word to heart and live in the promise that we are his and he is our amazing, awesome, almighty God. Whoever has experienced the bottomless love of God in Christ knows that his sins are forgiven. The aroma of the sweetness of the gospel oozes out of his free grace. God has made us his blessed child in the marvelous, majestic, magnificent miracle of baptism. And as followers of Jesus, understand that Out of his unfathomable compassion, God gave us his dear Son. And through his Son, we receive righteousness, holiness, peace, joy, everlasting. This is the beauty of who you are and whose you are. So who are you? I am a child of King Jesus. I am baptized. I am beloved. I am beautiful. I am blessed. I am bound and blood-bought. Don't forget that. So I came to this country in 1972 without any English speaking knowledge. I was raised as a Catholic. And you see, in the Catholic faith, I never heard the gospel. I was told what I needed to do to earn God's favor. And I'll make this short. Do you know that when I was a young man, because I was a naughty boy, I broke 300 windows at the Catholic convent where he's been. And what I used to do to atone for my sin, I would take the sharpest stones, and I put them into a pile, and I would kneel on them, and I would pray to Mary or to Joseph. Today, I have arthritis pretty badly because I would do that very often on Mount Carmel. But it wasn't until I came to this country, and thanks to this lady who is a Lutheran cradle, she talked about Jesus in a different way, invited me to church. I went, and for the first time, I heard the gospel. And what a freedom it gave me. I didn't have to kneel to atone for my sin. But God's grace filled my heart that from that day, I never quit talking about the love of Jesus. This is why I love to do what I do. I've traveled the country. I've been in 34 different states speaking about the love of Jesus. This is a joy for me. And I hope and pray you understand how precious you are, how beautiful you are, how blessed you are, and what a marvelous thing you have in the gift of baptism, that you are the beloved of God, and that you are the bound, the blood-bought child. And do you know that in 98% of my sermon, those 7 B's are shared with my saints whenever I preached? And even now, when I'm invited to preach, I just retired. So when I go to preach, I still use it because I am so anchored in this, because this endures. No matter what may come, no high water or hell or however you guys say it in English, nothing can rob me of this enduring truth that I am what? Baptized, beloved, beautiful, blessed, bound, and blood-bought. That's who you are. And whose are you? Jesus' little child. You have a hymn, right? I am Jesus' little lamb. Isn't that marvelous that we have that? Brothers and sisters, before I dismiss you, please do not neglect being in the assembly with God. Because in the divine service, you're going to hear that word, that lady who was 50 years old before she heard the beloved. So the next time you take the hymnal and look at it, and when the pastor Bill begins to say, beloved in the Lord, let us confess our sins, remember who you are. Thank you for being here. May the Lord bless you as you spend the next 4 days with us at the gathering, and tell others about my presentation. Come back again if you want to get some more of the nice times we shared together. God bless you all. Thank you.